The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show this morning. I'm waiting for Wynn Carpenter. This is Mark Barrett. I'm going to be your host today. Terry is off fooling around, taking a vacation to South Dakota and Yellowstone and all of those things I guess you feel like you have to do. I don't know where he gets off taking a vacation.
It's
none of the rest
fair.
Of us get to go. It's not fair, really. I mean, what are you thinking? Well, anyway, we have some news here. Coming up. Wynn and I went to the protest in Salem the other day, and it was fantastic. I mean, it was memorable. I was humbled. There were hundreds and hundreds of log trucks, hundreds of dump trucks, water trucks, farm tractors, crawler tractors, bale wagons. I mean, you know, the logging trucks alone would have filled a stadium, and they were constantly going around the Capitol tooting their horns. There were thousands of people on the steps of the Capitol. The legislators that wanted to pass the cap and trade bill, which would have destroyed the logging industry in Oregon and would have put just thousands of people out of work, they were so afraid of the citizens of Oregon that they didn't even show up for work. One of the Republican assembly guys came out. He did a speech. He said the Capitol building was absolutely empty. There was no one there. I mean, it was just absolutely amazing. So we were there all day. It rained all day long. Not one single person left. More and more people were coming all the time. We were soaking wet like a couple of drowned rats by the time we got back to the car. And it was just amazing. And guess what? It worked. So that's proof, folks, that if we show up, we can actually have an impact. If we would just bother to take a day off work once in a while, organize, go down to Sacramento with 25, 50,000 people, we could change things here in California. We might even get a state out of it. How would that be? How funny that is. The other thing we have coming up is we have a motions calendar for the Second Amendment lawsuit. The first court hearing is going to be on September the 6th at 10 a.m., courtroom number 3, Judge Mueller again. But that's going to be pretty cool because the state has made some admissions in their motion to dismiss that were pretty glaring admissions. I mean, those people are going crazy. They're admitting that they can't let everyone, they can't allow all law-abiding citizens to have access to the Second Amendment because that would upset the order that the state of California maintains. When I read that, I read the first two paragraphs, and I actually had to read them over and over again because I couldn't even believe what I was reading. I mean, I could not believe that the state of California admitted that all of the allegations we made were true in the first two paragraphs of their motion to dismiss the lawsuit. So that's kind of cool because, we're going to win. I mean, I think we might even try for a summary judgment out of that. So, hey, Ashley, is there internet in here that I can pull that up? Okay, she's on the phone, so I can't pull that up right now. But when I can, I'm going to go ahead and try to get that on the computer so I can actually read a couple of the statements that were made. The CFR lawsuit, the appeal has been filed. We're now waiting on the state. They have to file their motion to dismiss the appeal, and we have to file our opposition to the motion to dismiss, and then they file the opposition to the opposition, and then maybe we'll get somewhere with that. But I'm pretty excited about that because Judge Kaczynski wrote that motion, and he's a fairly sharp attorney, and I think he hit all the high points, and he did a very good job, and so I'm real excited about that happening. Can I pull up some kind of internet in here so that I can open the complaint?
Yes, we have about 5 minutes till the first break, and then I can help you.
Oh, okay, great. That one all right, so I've got to get to the first break before I can do that then. And let's see, what else is going on in Jefferson? Oh, hey, I know. I know. We have a vacant assembly seat. Isn't that interesting? The guy that wanted to be the state senator wouldn't help us do anything. So we didn't help him, and he lost. And now we have an open assembly seat, and the gentleman who's running for that seat, in fact, both of them, both conservatives running for that seat, Pat Jones and Joe Turner, have both stated openly that they will submit Jefferson legislation. I think that's so cool. So here we have a couple of candidates who are looking at us and saying, will the people of Jefferson help me get elected? And we've asked them, will you help us get statehood? And for once in our political lives, they said yes. And these guys are genuine. You know, they're honest guys. They mean it. So now we have an opportunity here. And it's up to all of us to see that these guys have a fair shot and that one of them gets elected. Because if we can get a Jefferson candidate into the assembly, now we have a path. You know, we all know that the assembly is dominated by Democrats, and we all know that we'd have a real battle even trying to get the state split legislation out of committee. But God is wonderful. He can do anything. And who knows what opportunities might present themselves if we actually have a path to statehood. So what I'm asking everybody is get off your backsides, turn off the TV, knock on doors, make phone calls, volunteer. Contact your county committee chairman. If you're not a member of a Jefferson organization, go on our website, soj51.org. Find out who is the county committee chairman in your county. Call that person up, he or she, and ask them for a job. Say, give me a job. I want to help the Jefferson candidate for Assembly District 1 get elected. I want to help the candidate for Assembly District 1 raise money. I want to donate money. I want to donate my time. I want to make phone calls. I want to walk precincts. When's the next precinct walk? In other words, folks, here we are. We've been whining and complaining and screaming about the opportunity to make a difference in the state of Jefferson, and here it is. The opportunity is here. It's ours. This is ours to win or ours to lose, and all we have to do is show up and do the work, and we can win something here. And if we win this, then we can turn around to the people of the state of Jefferson and say, look what we did, and if you want to win some more, help us. And maybe we can get some kind of movement going here that will lead to the state of Jefferson finally, and we can get away from these kooks. I'm talking to Bob Chard up in Salem. Bob is running the Oregon State of Jefferson effort, and he had a cool sign, and it showed that four counties in Oregon have a supermajority of all the representation, and the other 40 or so counties have about 20% of the representation. So, you know, really they're in the same boat as the state of California is. And, you know, when we look at our map, 51% of all representation in California lies south of the northern line to Los Angeles County. The state of Jefferson, that represents about a third of the landmass of California, has six state-level representatives, and the rest of California has 114. So you have one-third of California with six representatives, and you have the other part of California that has 114 representatives. And Los Angeles County and the neighboring counties to that have 51% of the representatives, so whatever they want, they could get passed every day. And we all agree, we were talking to Bob and some of his people who really hadn't been in on the history of this effort, and we were telling them about the court cases, Gray versus Sanders, Reynolds versus Sims, Baker versus Carr, and how the courts literally put us in this position in the sense that they issued the directive to counties. And by the way, that's not in the Supreme Court's purview, but they told counties that you're not allowed to have the same model of government that the federal government is, that you're not allowed to have representation by county, that you're only allowed to have representation by population. And so when they did that, Justice Frankenfurter said that we would be creating a nation that has an entirely city point of view. And is there anyone in this radio audience that can say that we don't? That Chicago runs politics for Illinois, that New York City runs politics for the state, that Salem and Portland run politics in Oregon, that Los Angeles and San Francisco dominate politics in California. So what we have is we have a situation where urban centers who know nothing about how you live, nothing about how it takes to live your life, nothing about the economy of the North State or the economy of rural areas, and they run the politics for the nation. I think we got to go to a break, so we'll talk to you on the other side.
Sitting on a bar stool. Kind of short and kind of square. Through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
In your soul, in your soul.
All right, we're back from break. Thanks, everybody, for sticking around through the commercial part of this, and that's very important. And I'd also like to point out, if you ladies and gentlemen out there in the radio listening audience, if you enjoy these programs, if you like what you hear, please support this studio by buying things from the advertisers that advertise on it. Because in the end, this isn't free and the airtime isn't free. I can tell you from personal experience, it's very expensive. And if you don't support the advertisers, then they're not going to pay for advertising and then all of this goes away. So do us all a favor. And when you hear a commercial, visit those businesses and give them your business. I support the businesses that support us. All right.
And let them know State of Jefferson sent you.
And let them know where you heard about them. Very good, Ashley. Thank you. That's kind of important, isn't it? So let's talk about the Second Amendment lawsuit just for a second, and then we'll go back to the CFR lawsuit. You know, what we're alleging is that the state of California has literally banned the Second Amendment. They have, because Penal Code Section 25850 says it is unlawful to carry a loaded weapon in public, exposed, anywhere in California. And then there are a few exceptions to that. Now, let's go back to the open and exposed part. 26400 says it's unlawful to carry an unloaded, I believe it's long gun, but it could be long or short gun. And then 26350 covers the other one, either long or short gun. So you can't carry a gun open and exposed when it's loaded. You can't carry a gun unloaded, open or exposed. There are a few exceptions if you're hunting and so on, but that's about it. And then there's the 26150, and those are the exemptions. Now, the exemptions are this. A sheriff of a county may issue, and the other side of that is may not, issue a concealed carry permit. And I'm only going to mention concealed carry once because The Ninth Circuit in Peruta v. San Diego says concealed carry is not a right. Concealed carry not being a right, states can ban it, they can regulate it, they can charge whatever they want for it, they can not give it to you, they can make it so difficult that nobody wants to do it, and a lot of counties do just that. I mean, in Los Angeles County, they've issued so few concealed carry permits, and finally the sheriff came out and said he's going to revoke the ones that he's already issued because some of them are kind of old and they probably don't need their guns anymore. So he's even going to go out, and just to illustrate what a permission is as opposed to a right, the sheriff is going to revoke the permission he's already given to some people in order to defend themselves and their families. So concealed carry is not a right. It can be banned. It is banned in many counties in California just by virtue of the fact that the sheriff won't give any permits out. So we're not going to talk about that anymore. The only right that we have in California, according to the Ninth Circuit in Peruta v. San Diego, and remember, that went to in-bank, and the Supreme Court refused to rehear the case. So this is the law out of their own mouth. And their mouth says that the only right of the Second Amendment would be open carry, if there even is one. So now we can only deal with open carry. Well, in the 26-150 exemptions to the ban on open carry, a sheriff of a county with less than 200,000 people, and this is 26-150B2, may issue an open carry permit, and then again, he may not. So statutorily, sheriffs have the authority, and in the motion to dismiss, California points out that sheriffs have been granted the authority to determine who may carry openly and who may not in counties of less than 200,000. So now we have a core enumerated right, the Second Amendment. It's one of the Bill of Rights. The first 10 are considered the Bill of Rights. Those are rights given to us by God, not by government. In fact, our complaint says that the only thing the Second Amendment grants us is freedom from government interference, because our right to defend ourselves is pre-constitutional, pre-governmental. In fact, it's pre-civilization. Everyone has the right to protect themselves. Because you're a human being, you have the right to protect yourselves. So we're not dependent on the government for that right. We're simply dependent upon the right to prevent government interference of something that we already have. And that we point out also in our complaint. So now when we look at the 26-150B2, it's not a right. Sheriffs may decide who can do it, and they may decide who can't do it. And police chiefs may decide who can carry, and they may decide who can't carry. So now we have this right that's already been reduced to a permission, but here's the problem with 26-150B2. We did this little FOIA request, which was kind of fun because the government went back and forth and back and forth with me before they finally provided the information, because no sheriff in California has ever granted an open carry permit ever in the history of the permit. So now we're talking about the history of the permit, but what is the history of the permit? It's 2012 and 2013, because before then, from 1850 until 2012 and 2013, it wasn't against the law. You could strap on your hog leg and walk anywhere you wanted in California. But then all of a sudden in 2012 and 13, the state decided it needed to maintain order, and they revoked the last right you had, which was the open carry of an unloaded weapon, because the right to carry a loaded weapon was taken from you in 1967 with the Mulford Act. And my errant partner, Wynn Carpenter, the perpetually absent and tardy, has now appeared. Hey, Wynn.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Okay. How about you?
That was fun in Salem, huh?
It was awesome.
Yeah. We had a good time there.
We had a great time.
So now we're down to the fact that in 1967, Assemblyman Mulford got scared to death because the Black Panthers showed up at the Capitol and they waved some guns around. Nobody got hurt. They left when they were told to. They were all charged with conspiracy afterwards. But that was when the Republican-dominated Assembly of California and the Republican-dominated Senate, led by Governor Ronald Reagan, and Governor Reagan made the statement, "In this day and age, no civilian needs to carry a gun down Main Street." And then they stripped your Second Amendment right then, and no one said a word. In fact, the NRA helped them write the legislation. And then in 2012 and 2013, Senator Anthony Portantino, whose claim to fame was he was the art director on the Grizzly Adams TV show, he said, well, you don't need a gun to go buy a cheeseburger. And so he passed the legislation to ban the open carry of an unloaded firearm, both a shotgun, a handgun, and a long gun. And that was the end of it. But for 162 years, everybody carried guns in California. Nobody thought anything about it. And then all of a sudden, we have a permission to carry a gun, but no such permission has ever been issued in the history of the permit. I think that stinks, don't you?
I do. And why isn't that ever issued?
Because...
What are they afraid of?
Well, that's a really good question. In Shasta County, Sheriff Basinko is apparently afraid that his officers might be scared. Now, for 162 years in California, no officer was scared when they saw a gun. It was your right. People did it all the time. In my county, people still do it all the time with a permit or without one. But can you imagine a police officer afraid of law-abiding citizens?
How many other states already do that?
Oh, 41 states already do it.
So if 41 can do it and they're not having rampant shootings and citizens killing citizens and so forth, how does that happen? How does that work?
Well, you know, it's funny because we have a peace officer from Kansas who has testified before that when Kansas went to open carry, nothing pretty much happened.
So would the same thing happen here?
Probably nothing would happen.
Probably nothing would happen.
Yeah, except ordinary citizens would be armed along with the criminals.
So then the criminals might not do as much criminal activity if the citizens are armed.
Well, when they interviewed people in state prison and they asked them, what's your favorite kind of victim? They said the unarmed kind, because if they thought a person was armed, they would pick another house or they'd pick another person to rob and assault.
Well, if they knew that there was a gun behind that front door, they're not going to go in there.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense to me. I mean, we don't have a lot of property crime in the rural areas of Siskiyou County because everybody has a gun, and you have that long driveway, and here's your crook down at the bottom of that driveway, and he's wondering himself, I wonder if anybody's home, and I wonder if they have a gun. And then he says, yep, and he leaves.
So then, and we do have crime here in our rural urban area here in Redding. We do have crime. I've been a victim of it a couple times.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we had guns and were able to defend ourselves, then maybe some of that would be thwarted.
Well, and even if it preventative aside, you have the ability and you have the God-given right to defend yourself. So even if you are an object of that crime, you have the human right to self-defense. Now, it's funny, the things that are a human right in this country now. The Democratic majority says you have the human right to kill your own unborn children. They say that's a human right. You have the human right to sneak across this border illegally, according to the majority party in California. In fact, the governor says you not only have the human right to break the law and sneak in, but you got the human right to free medical care after you get here. But the rest of us don't have the human right to even defend ourselves in the face of a deadly threat. How does that work?
It doesn't. Not for long.
Well,
for long.
It just seems kind of one-sided to me. I don't know.
Yeah, and we didn't get a choice to make that as a choice. We didn't get to vote on it.
No.
Any of those issues. We didn't get to vote on it as the people to decide whether we want to do it or not. Whether we wanted to or not, but at least the election part of it, we didn't get to vote on it.
Yeah, funny how that worked out. I don't know. That's somehow there's a fundamental disconnect with constitutional republic, inalienable rights, Article 1, Section 1 of the California Constitution, where us being born free and independent beings, we enjoy certain inalienable rights. Among those is the inalienable right to protect our property. And if your life isn't your property, what property do you have that you would really care that much about?
Well, that's the most sacred right you have.
Yeah.
So how can you not defend it?
Well, you have a government, though, that doesn't defend life. In other words, life is a choice. And it's not a right here because you don't have, the government won't defend life. Who else will? I mean.
Amen.
Yeah. Are we going to a break now?
We are.
Okay.
We are going to head off to our next break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
The time has come.
For 51.
Amen.
Politician talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plans, but they came undone when it got around to God and guns. I don't know how
hunting club. 'Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong. That's what this.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
Market volatility has become a fact of life. What does this mean for your investments? Are you aware of and prepared for the risks volatility poses to your portfolio? Should you consider changing your specific holdings or the mix of assets in your account?
Rick Hill and Rory Greek Financial Advisors, the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley, can give you insights about these and other questions and can also suggest strategies that may help better prepare you for the market's ups and downs.
Please call Rick Hill or Rory Greek Financial Advisors at the Redding, California branch at Rick Hill or Rory Greek at 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC. Member SIPC.
Celebrate America's independence with Anderson Explodes in the great city of Anderson on July 3rd at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Brought to you by the McConnell Foundation, Sierra Pacific Foundation, J.F. Shea, Wind River Resort and Casino, California Highway Patrol, and this radio station. Admission is free. Gates open at 4 p.m. Concert starts at 7 with music from Nashville recording artist Mark Wills. Followed by fireworks at 10. Food and drink are available, including the annual 4-H FF barbecue. Parking is $5. No outside food or beverage allowed.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
When you come to take mine, granddaddy taught my daddy how to hunt and how to fish, how to be a man. Don't take any lip, raised up on a good book, learned about the land. They grew what they ate, they didn't get it from Uncle Sam.
All right, we're back. Mark's probably most likely going to continue his little chat with us, his rant. As
I was leaning over to Wynn whispering, when do we start?
We start now.
Yeah. So what it boiled down to was the 26150B2 was the state's way of saying, oh, no, we haven't banned the Second Amendment. And also they have this weird little deal, and I forget the penal code for this one, but you are allowed, any citizen, any law-abiding citizen is allowed to produce a gun in the event self-defense is imminent. And they urge you strongly in the penal code to hold the suspect at bay while you dial the police, and then you hold the suspect for the police to show up. Yeah, that's going to happen. I mean, number one, the police don't have any duty to protect you at all, and we saw that in Portland yesterday with the Antifa riots where the police are just standing there watching these socialist idiots beat the heck out of bystanders and reporters and stuff. But anyway, so the 26150B2 is the state's way of saying, oh, no, we haven't banned the Second Amendment. Certain sheriffs were granted the authority, and they may issue authority or permit to openly carry a loaded weapon, but they never have. And so for 162 years, we're defending ourselves, even in socialist California, and everybody's fine. And you know what? The gutters never ran red with blood, and no one ever had a bunch of accidents with their firearms, at least none that I can find in the press. You know, we have our share of crooks, just like everybody does, but it was all fine. And so now all of a sudden the legislature realizes, well, we can't have law-abiding individuals running around with guns, so they ban it all. And then they grant a sheriff the authority to allow you to exercise the Second Amendment if you ever did it to start with, but no such authority has ever been granted. And so we're here we are now, and here's the statement that, really, really frosts me. So what the state says in the motion to dismiss is that they cannot possibly allow law-abiding individuals access to the Second Amendment because it would upset a carefully balanced structure of regulations intended to protect the individual's rights and at the same time maintain order. So they're protecting your right by, as I've described before, taking away from you. And then they use the fact that you don't have any rights to maintain order, which means you're a subject to the state because you can't possibly maintain order. You can't possibly defend yourself legitimately because you've been banned from possession of a firearm in public. And that's kind of where we are now, folks, with that. So, going back to, CFR, and if anybody has any questions on that Second Amendment, please call in because we're sitting here waiting to take your questions, and that's part of the deal. So going back to the CFR, what we initially had in this nation was we had many states, it was something like 40 states, had what was known as a federal model of government, where one half of a bicameral legislature was representative of counties. In other words, every county had one state senator or two state senators or whatever. In California, it was initially in 1926, it was basically one per county, except the smallest counties like Alpine that only had two dozen people in it at the time, and other counties had to share. But it was no more than three counties share a senator, and those counties had to be contiguous. They had to touch one another. And then we had an assembly regulated by population like most states did. But in 1962 and through 1964, a series of lawsuits created a situation where the Supreme Court did something tremendously unconstitutional. Article 3 defines the courts. And in Article 3, it says the Supreme Court has the jurisdiction over all matters of equity and law arising under the Constitution. In other words, these jurisdictions have to be appropriate to things that come from directly from the Constitution. The Supreme Court was never allowed to make it up as they went along. They were never allowed to interpret the Constitution. They were never allowed to change the Constitution. But then they started to do that, and with Baker versus Carr, the federal government gave itself permission to intervene in state election processes. Well, when you think about that, the states wrote the Constitution. The states are the authors of the Constitution. The federal government is the result of the Constitution. I think we have a caller, so why don't we do that? Go ahead, Wynn.
All right, we're going to take Nick's call and find out what Nick has to say. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. I wanted to ask Mark, I've got two questions, but the first one, Mark, how many states have contacted you on how to form a committee and get started splitting off from their state?
Oh, lots of them. New York, Colorado. I remember meeting the guys from Colorado in a blizzard on a snow-soaked highway down by Cortez, Colorado at a diner. A guy from Maryland, Upper Michigan, Illinois, Washington, and California.
Maybe it would be easier to name the states that haven't contacted you. It sounds like every state in the union has a problem with being governed by the city of liberals.
Well, every state in the union does have the same problem, where liberals in major cities, because just by default, major cities seem to be going more liberal. I don't know. I mean, I don't have an explanation for that, but it's true. And cities have more population just by nature of being cities, and so therefore they have more representation, and finally they get a majority of it, and the rest of us are just subjects of the government after that.
Isn't that the truth? I coined the phrase the new royalty class of America, government employees. I was reading in the paper yesterday that California is having some big meetings on something to do with the fires and I think preventing them and so forth. And part of the meetings weren't going to be open to the public. In other words, we couldn't know what their decisions are going to be. I see that same thing happening in Shasta County. And it makes you think, aren't we supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, for the people, and now we've got the government making decisions for us behind our back, not even in the negotiations?
Well, Nick, I guess you could kind of say the fix is in, huh?
That's a pleasant way of putting it. Hey, getting to the gun control. You know, I just had a knee replacement 2 years ago, and I can't run. There's no way I can run. And I have rheumatoid arthritis. I've got no strength. I can't close my fist. If I hit somebody, it'd be like a shock absorber. It'd hurt me more than them. I wonder if I could get a disabled place card saying this is a disabled person. He's armed. He can protect himself.
No. The best you can do in California today, under today's rules, you could get a disabled card that says, this person is disabled. Please don't rob me because I've been robbed of my ability to defend myself. You could probably get one of those place cards, but you'd have to get a permit for it.
That's exactly right. You know, I was talking to three police officers here a month and a half ago or so, and I said, if I walk around a corner, or if you walk around the corner and you see somebody breaking into my car and stealing something, what would you do? And they said, well, that would be a misdemeanor. We'd write them a citation. I said, if I walk around the corner and catch somebody breaking into my car and stealing something and beat the hell out of them, what would you do? He said, you'd be arrested.
Well,
it's awfully poor that our law enforcement, our laws have come to this, making the victim the perpetrator and the perpetrator the victim.
Well,
that's why we need
the fix
to be
is
armed.
In. The fix is in, Nick, and in addition to that, the police have no duty whatsoever to protect you from crime or violence or anything else, for that matter. So expecting them to stop a crime that's about to happen or stop a crime in progress or be where you need them to be when you need them is a pipe dream because they have no duty to do that, and even California government code says that. And further, even if they know about the crime and they fail to stop it, you can't sue them. They don't have any liability in those situations.
Well, absolutely none of our anybody working for the government has no there can be no repercussions for a bad decision they make. It's just whatever they do, they're left out of liability. I see where FEMA relocated a felon, a AB 109 felon, to Redding from a different community because of the fires. And I'd sure like to find out how many they relocate around. You know, we've got enough criminals. They don't need to bring in more. With
well,
that, I'll bid you a fond farewell. It's very nice to hear you on the radio.
Okay, thanks, Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
Bye.
Yeah, pretty amazing, though. And you know, when you look at tort law, it really is correct that the police should suffer no liability because they'd have to be omniscient and omnipresent. I mean, how could they possibly know where a crime's about to be committed? And these guys work hard. It's not that they don't, and it's not that they wouldn't choose to protect you if they had the ability to do it. It's that they can't be everywhere. They can't think of everything. There are rules that guide a proper arrest. An officer is not allowed to arrest someone for a misdemeanor not committed in his presence because he didn't have any firsthand knowledge of it. So that's where citizen's arrest comes in. But you're not armed, so I wouldn't probably try to do that except on some very, very rare occasions. And, you know, it's the whole system is rigged against the individual and for the criminal, as Nick said. And AB 47 and AB 109 just make it worse and worse and worse. But the politicians in Sacramento don't care because they have plenty of security and they have plenty of armed individuals around them, so it doesn't bother them because it doesn't affect them, quite frankly.
And what's the silver bullet to deal with all that?
Well, open carry. I mean, the silver bullet is liberty. Really, if you have the liberty to exercise your God-given rights to defend yourself, your family, your community, your state, and your nation, and to defend yourself against government tyranny, that's the silver bullet, and it always has been, and that's how we created this nation. We used the silver bullet against our own government on April 19, 1775, kind of kicked the whole thing off officially. It had been going on before that, but April 19, 1775 was the official start where people said, I'm not going to take it anymore, and I'm not going to let my own government steal from me.
Well, and it was kind of nice to see, you know, on a much lighter note, on version of that, when we were up in Salem.
Oh, was that a hoot or what?
Oh, my gosh. There were truly thousands of people. Not hundreds, thousands. Thousands of people, hundreds and hundreds of semis and different sized trucks and tractors circling and driving around the downtown area of Salem, going around the Capitol,
putting a gotcha or attaboy there as far as support. They people were wonderful. They were friendly. They were courteous. They cleaned up before they left. There was nothing there because we stayed toward the very end, and there was nothing on the ground. People were making sure everything was tidy. All their speakers were well-spoken. They didn't point fingers in a negative way about, and they weren't vulgar. They didn't say anything bad. They were honest, telling the truth, and stating facts.
And this was the right-wing militia that Kate Brown ran to Portland to hide from, by the way.
And keeping in mind, there was discussion there amongst the crowd that they went inside to see if they could talk to some of the Democrats. They wanted to, you know, talk to them, find out what's going on. Come to find out, not one Democrat showed up to work that day. They were scared of all these people.
Yeah, wasn't it Jefferson that said, people afraid of their government is tyranny, government afraid of its people is liberty?
Absolutely.
Huh. Do we have to go to a break?
Not yet. We have. We have another caller right now, and we have Jimmy on the line. Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. I just want to give you an example of how many people are moving out of California. My daughter's moving to Arizona to be with her fiance. Well, to rent a truck from Penske from here down to there was just over $600. Not including tax, not including insurance. And just for the heck of it, I looked up the rates coming from, and this is by Tucson, Arizona, the rates coming from there back to Redding, it's $116.
What? Six times more?
You can go on Penske, the Penske website and punch it in. From Anderson to Tucson, or actually Oro Valley, Arizona, was like $600 and something. From there back to here was 116.
I'm surprised they're not paying people to drive them back here.
That's the thing. It's like for them to come back here, it's like they're doing them a favor.
Right. They probably don't get many takers of driving them back here, even at $100.
No. And here's another thing, and this is the God's honest truth, gentlemen. I'll put my hand on the Bible and swear to this. Yesterday when I made the reservations, I called the Penske truck company, because I like to do it person to person. And the lady was from Philadelphia. And I said, yeah, we're renting a truck from Anderson to Arizona. And I swear, she said, oh, another person moving out of California, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see how this is going. But you know, Newsom, he just says, hey, you know, the Republican Party is in the dustbin of history. They're a relic. They're not relevant anymore. We don't have to listen to them. We can do whatever we want. Let's throw open the borders. Let's give everybody free health care. At the same time, let's encourage women to murder their unborn children. In fact, he says, we want to be the abortion tourism capital of the world. So you can come and murder a child and then go to Disneyland afterwards. And that's Governor Newsom. That's the idiot we elected. And he says conservatives are irrelevant. But we got some bad news. He's right about the irrelevance because we don't have enough political power to blow ripples in a teaspoon of water. But the good news is we can fix that. We can fix it.
I know you guys have to go off to a break, but real quick before I get off there, I was wondering if you guys knew about, and I'll take my answer next after the next break, have you guys heard about California apparently signing some sort of deal with Canada about pollution or global warming or something? So if you have heard about it or not, I'll take my answer.
Do you have anything on that to help us? I have not heard anything. Have you heard anything, Mark?
I don't. In front of me, no, I don't.
No,
I haven't heard anything about
California
that.
Was apparently doing something with Canada.
Doesn't surprise me. They like to do that. They like to break the law and try to get a treaty with another state or another country. So it wouldn't surprise me that somebody in the California monarchy did that.
Yeah, the only problem with that is Article 1, Section 10, Clause 4 says no state will make any agreement with any other state or any foreign power except with the consent of Congress. So, and Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution says California is an inseparable part of the United States, and the United States Constitution is the highest law of the land. So how do you get there from here?
Yeah.
And like most people out there, like me, did not know that before listening to shows like this. So anyways, gentlemen, I'll let you go. Great show, and I'll talk to you later.
Hey, right. Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you, Jimmy. Bye-bye. All right, and we're going to go off to our next break, and we'll be back in just a few moments. The time has come for 51.
Amen, brother. 35.
They drew a line in the sand. The folks at Gonzales had freedom on their minds. It was all because of a canton that had kept their colony safe. But then General Santa Anna sent some Mexican troops to take the big gun away. You know what those colonists said? Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but we'll warn you. You'll have to pry from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it. One shot at a time.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
We believe in freedom, we believe in God and guns. We believe in working hard till the working day is done. Teach your children
we're
to follow the heart,
lead
them right from home.
We're back. I must have, I have my back to the chalkboard because I can't see. Ashley's over there. She's probably, she's sticking her tongue out at me now that I turned around. I didn't know we were back. And they have this chalkboard that she puts up in the window that says who's calling and everything. And I'm, how do they know that?
Magic.
Yeah, it's just magic.
You know how radio stations work.
I guess I don't know how talk radio works, so just music radio.
Oh, okay.
So we did a little, quick little research, and Jimmy's right. California just violated Article 1, Section 10, Clause 4, yet again, and made a deal with Canada to produce eco-friendly cars, which, by the way, it's according to this article in the Financial Post, is a violation of the new NAFTA agreement. So here we have a federal government which is designed so that states speak with
unity
and one voice
to
foreign powers, so that foreign powers can't stick their toe in between states and upset politics and upset people's lives. And that's why the federal government was created, so the states would speak with one voice. And here you have states like California, where the governor goes to other countries and cuts his own deal, and he goes to other countries and cuts contracts in violation of the Constitution and in violation of agreements that the federal government's already made with these countries. What the heck is going on here?
And you couldn't make this stuff up.
You not only can't make it up, but the beauty of it is there is something we can do about it. We can get away from these kooks. We can coalesce the power that the people have, and that we saw in Oregon demonstrated firsthand, the power the people have always had. And we can form the 51st state of Jefferson, and we can get away from these idiots, fools, and morons who are trying to ruin our lives and ruin our wallets at the same time and drive businesses and children off. And let's get away from them, folks. Stand up. Be counted. Let's do this deal.
Got to make it happen.
All right, we have another caller on the line. Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm just calling to confirm what the other gentleman said about the rental rates for trucks.
Yeah.
I grew up in a rental yard my mom and dad had, and now my brother owns it. And we are a U-Haul dealer also with U-Haul trucks. And it is 4 to 5 times the expense to go from his yard in Southern California to Phoenix than it is to bring it the other way. And they will give you a big discount if you go and drive, unload your truck, and bring it back.
How big?
75%.
I was wondering if there's a job in that. You know, I mean, in other words, if you can get paid more to bring it back than it costs you to take it, we could get a cottage industry going here because nobody wants
actually,
to come back.
They bus drivers to Arizona to pick up trucks and bring them back.
Really?
Yep. So they take them in vans and buses. And my brother said it is white flight out of Southern California, and the majority of the people that are leaving are retired people drawing state pensions.
Oh, yeah. No, I know firefighters that that work in the Susanville area, Alturas area. They all live in Reno because they don't want to deal with it while they're working. And then when they get their CalPERS, they just, you know,
take the money and run.
They take the money and run. Everybody does that. It's kind of funny, Chris, because, you know, I just, general question, I already know the answer to it, but do you think people are leaving because this is the best place on earth to live and they just want to live in a crummier place, or you
oh,
think
absolutely not. Yeah. It's the immigration.
Yeah. So then you find the third most crummy place, and the people that live there will sneak into the second most crummy place because they get a lot of free stuff. And then once they get established or whatever, or people who have their lives figured out, and then they make the money, then they escape to a place that's even better than here because they can. I mean, the productive mobile people are the ones leaving, not the ones that can't leave.
And the locations that people are going to are Arizona, Texas, Tennessee, and the Carolinas.
Yeah. Then you have a governor that says, vote for me and I'll give you money. And then you have a legislature and you have presidential candidates on the liberal side that say, everything should be free. College is free. Medical care is free. Everything's free. Vote for us, and we'll give you more free stuff than anybody on earth could possibly promise you. It's all free. But they don't mention the people that have to pay for it, though, because someone has to pay for it.
What about the leadership in Sacramento? Why aren't they putting an end to these people taking their large California pensions, going to the other states and living like a king on our dime?
Oh, believe me, they're trying to figure out just how to do that.
Yeah.
Just tax them. Come on. They put a tax on everything else.
No, well, it'd be a fee. We'd have to vote on a tax. They'll just impose a fee on everybody.
I think New York.
Or a penalty.
I think New York and New Jersey already have some kind of scam going where they can tax the dickens out of somebody that tries to move with their pension. They call it a wealth tax.
Good.
Yeah. No. Well, it's not working, though. I mean, people are getting around it because extremely wealthy people have extremely smart lawyers and they can afford to pay them, and they're finding ways to get out of it. So this idea that we'll just target the people who are going to leave, but they do it in real estate sales. In other words, if you sell your primary residence, I think it's in New York, and that residence sells for more than $1 million, there's some automatic tax you have to pay if you're moving out of state. So I just think that's wacky. I mean, that's
so they probably just keep a P.O. box.
Yeah.
Keep a P.O. box in the state.
Yeah, well, they're probably figuring out a way around it, but it is a problem for them, and they're trying to get that money because, let's face it, without the money, you can't do all the stupid stuff and give everybody free things because there has
right.
to be money behind some of it.
Wow, crazy.
Anyway, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris. Anything else?
No, not at all. You have a good day.
All right. Thanks for the information. That was great.
Yeah, appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, isn't that wacky?
Yeah, it's awesome that, you know, not awesome in a good way. It's awesome in a bad way that it's like it's overwhelming to understand that all this garbage is happening to us
well,
over and over again.
I mean, you haven't seen anything yet. Wait for service taxes.
I'm scared on that. Now, before we go, I just want to remind everybody that there is not a Reading Patriots meeting tomorrow night. So enjoy your holiday week. So I just want to remind everybody that we're not going to have a meeting tomorrow night at the church that shall be renamed. Nameless, I guess.
Shall be renamed nameless.
Renamed nameless.
You know, another thing is, remember the reason for the season. July 4th is not just a four-day weekend. July 4th is a date that commemorates the beginning of the revolution, our quest for independence, and just remember that millions gave their lives for this, and they literally paid for your liberty with their blood, their treasure, and their sacred honor. The time has come for 51.
Amen. And thank you, Mark, for coming in.
Al, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind. You don't know us, you have no clue, and still you're telling us what to do.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.